Let me preface what I'm going to say to you tonight. I had something totally different. I was going to preach on faith forward again tonight. I was going to talk about the renewing of the mind and how that works with faith. But as I got dressed, I was putting my shoes on tonight, and I felt the Spirit of God just nudge me in my heart to share something that I've been working on for some time. But to be quite honest, I don't want to share this, because every time I share this, it comes with all kinds of crazy stuff. But I got in the car and I said, okay, I'm going to preach on faith forward. I don't know if y'all ever do that. You don't argue with God, right? I do. So I said, I'm going to preach on faith forward, because that's what I've prepared for. Again, I felt when I got in the car, the presence of the Lord just pushed me and say, you need to do this. You need to do this. And so I wrestled with it all the way to church. I came in and told Noah, I said, okay, we're going a totally different direction. And so we're probably going to need a totally different graphic tonight. So he's been scrambling. I'm sure he might have found something, might not have found something. But if he did or didn't, we'll work with it. But tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about, I'm just going to do a prophecy update. I just felt like I needed to deal with some things concerning the America and the rest of the world. And I know this is a weird on a December Wednesday night, but I feel like some things are going to start, some chips are going to start falling after the first of the year. And I want you guys to be aware of it. But here's the deal tonight, because I know that we'll have thousands of people watching this. It's not going to be just me tonight. I'm going to need your help. So I'm going to need some people to volunteer to read some passages of Scripture so that I can plow through this information without having to turn all over my Bible. And then what I'm going to do is I'll have Jerry to run to you and give you a microphone to read the passage of Scripture. Is that okay? And so I need somebody who will find for me Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 and 16. Who's going to find that one? All right, we got it right here. He's going to do Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 and 16. I need somebody who's going to find for me Luke chapter 2. Liz has got Luke chapter 2. I need someone who's going to find for me Isaiah chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. You got Isaiah, verse 1 and 2. There's no way I'm going to remember all this. I'll have to ask who got it. I need somebody to find for me Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. You got that one? Okay, I need somebody who's going to find for me Ezekiel chapter 38, about verse 12 through 15. Ezekiel 38, you got that one, Ms. Pam? All right, good deal. I need someone who's going to find for me Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Who's going to do Revelation 12, 13 and 14? All right, you got that one, Ms. Neal? Great, awesome. Y'all are rocking tonight. Those are the passages of Scriptures that I need at the moment. And then I need one more passage, Romans chapter 1. Somebody grab Romans chapter 1 for me right back here. She's got Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 24, 26, and 28 there in just a moment. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us tonight. And so this is going to be a end-of-the-year prophecy update. And I'm going to deal with the number one question that I'm asked concerning Bible prophecy. And I've been writing some things down, prepping for a book that I haven't really made known to anybody. And I've been studying intently through some passages of Scripture about America and the Bible. And so tonight, we're going to deal with America and prophecy. Okay? And so anyway, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Holy Spirit, thank you for the Word. Now, Holy Spirit, we need ears to hear what the Spirit of God's going to say to us tonight. I pray that you would guide our hearts, our minds, my mouth, that everything we do tonight would be done for your glory, for your honor. We're contending for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America and around the world. We're believing you for it. We're turning our hearts and our minds towards you. But tonight, God, be quite honest and transparent. We need to be discerners of the times and seasons and know what the people of God ought to do during this moment of history. So give us wisdom. Your word says in James 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and you would give it liberally, and you would not withhold anything back. So Lord, we ask you for wisdom tonight in your name. Amen and amen. All right, let's go first together as a group to the book of Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. I would encourage you tonight to get something to write with, because the majority of what I'm about to teach you, you probably have never heard taught ever. I'm going to warn you in advance. It's going to sound like on the front side of this that we're doom and gloom, but I'm not. You know how I am. I want to show you the problem so that we can see the solution. A lot of times we preach about the solution so much we don't ever know that we have a problem. But what I want to do tonight is deal with the problem so that when we see the problem and how big it is, that at the end we'll be able to see what the only solution really is for us. Is everybody clear on that? All right, Psalm chapter 9, verse number 17, and I'm going to read from the New King James. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now let me start out like this. A lot of people don't know this, but in Washington, D.C., the tallest monument there, the Washington Monument, on the very top of that monument is a metal top, and on that metal top are inscribed these words in Latin. In English, it reads, "Praise be to God." So when the sun rises in the east, our founding fathers intended when the sun rose in the east early in the morning that the first rays of light that would beam across the continent would hit the top of the Washington Monument and would illuminate the words over the entire nation of America, "Praise be to God." It is obvious from the founding of America that our founding fathers, as flawed as they were, wanted America to have a Judeo-biblical Christian worldview and ethic in its fabric. The proof of this is almost every single major document in early American history is filled with scriptures from the Word of God. Everything from the Constitution to the Declaration of Independence, down to even the bankruptcy laws of America, were taken specifically and directly out of the book of Deuteronomy. So all of these founding documents were woven into the fabric of America. I believe that America was intended to be a Christian nation and was birthed to be a Christian nation. At the very root of us fighting for the independence of America from Great Britain or from England was so that we would have the freedom to worship as we ought without restriction in America. Now, there are proponents, liberal proponents, who will say that there needs to be a separation between God and state. But I don't believe that. I believe that that's a misinterpretation of the documents. I believe that it's obvious from our history that our founders wanted God in the fabric of America. So in the early days of the founding of America, I think it's safe to say that America was a Christian nation. However, right now, it is estimated that only 20% of Americans are Christians. Of the 20% of Americans that are Christians, only 50% of those Christians say they regularly attend church. And of the 50% who say they regularly attend church, only 50% of those actually do. And of the 50% who actually do, the other 50% only attend sporadically. So the American church is in drastic decline. Drastic decline. In fact, it is arguable that we are in steeper decline faster than Europe went through their decline. And Europe is considered a dead nation spiritually. Most of especially Western Europe, is considered a dead nation. So for us to say now that America is a Christian nation, I believe is a great stretch. I think it would be more accurate for us to say that America is a post-Christian nation. We have a tendency, because we live in the Bible Belt, to think that everybody else in America is just like us. And so when we have elections, every election, we always hear this terminology, well, the moral majority or the silent majority. How many's ever heard that before? The silent majority did or did not come to the polls. What I'm trying to tell you is I have been in every state of the union. Every state. I have preached in every state except Hawaii. And it is God's will for me to preach in Hawaii. I'm just laying that out there. I've preached in every state. I can tell you, with the exception of some very rare pockets like Middle Tennessee and maybe some parts in Texas and Missouri, and just very rare pockets, most of them being in the South and in the Southeast, the great bulk of America is extremely liberal. Extremely liberal. Even what you consider conservative places are liberal. They might hold to conservative political values, but they are liberal in spiritual values. So to say that there is a moral majority, I think, is very inaccurate. To say that there is, see, it's already getting quiet in here because this rubs against everybody. Let me lay out my point tonight, and then we can look at the solution. To say that there's a moral majority, I think, is inaccurate. I think that comes mostly from people who have not, they live right here in the bubble, and they've not been around the rest of the world. They've not even been in other churches to see how liberal our churches are. Folks, and one of the things that's spurring this on is I've been watching the discussions going on Capitol Hill in the courts concerning Roe versus Wade. We have a very conservative court right now, but it'll be a miracle of God if they turn that. Because we have a tendency to think that just because they label themselves as a conservative, that they have the same biblical values that you and I do. And I'm telling you, that is not the case. A great bulk of what I call nominal churches, mainline denominational churches, a great bulk of them are very liberal in their approach to Scripture. They're very liberal in their approach to the nation of Israel. They're very liberal in their approach to Bible prophecy. And they're very liberal in their approach to general morality of what you and I would call basic Christian principles or disciplines that we practice every single day. It is wrong for you and I to think that everybody else is like us. They are not. And I'm telling you today, ladies and gentlemen, the great majority of America is not like us. And they don't even think in the same hemisphere as we do. Now that's a very hard pill to swallow. The reason I'm bringing that to you, and I'm starting with that tonight, is because of this one thing. The Bible says that every nation that forgets God will be turned into hell. History is replete with thousands of nations who started out in the fires of revival and morality and disintegrated and fell apart over time. Every nation that forgets God is turned into hell. It is extremely important right now that we have a move of God in America, because if we do not have a move of God in America, if you think it has been bad up to this point, you have not seen anything yet. In 2012, I had a vision. I do not talk about it much publicly. I had a vision. I saw the future of America in that vision. I saw America's streets on fire and burning. I saw people fighting in the streets over race. I saw the nation divided, and I'm just going to give you the summation of it very fast. I saw the political divisions. I saw extraordinary inflation to the point that a $100 bill was worth a $1 bill. In fact, there was a man catching $100 bills, and he was saying they were $1 bills. And it was a storm of money, of which we are just now entering into, by the first end of the first quarter of this next year, and the reason I'm doing this is I'm warning you, you need to prepare. By the end of the first quarter of this next year, what you pay $100 right now at the grocery store will cost you $180 to $200. By the end of the first quarter of next year. That's my prediction. Now, that's not prophetic, but that's a prediction. Can I give you a reason you're going to pay that? Well, you say, well, it's because of the supply chain. The supply chain is just one reason. For this last year, almost all of the production of fertilizer in North America was cut by 50%. I want you to listen to me now. By 50%. China is no longer shipping fertilizer to us. They're keeping theirs for their own production, and they cut theirs as well. When you cut fertilizer production because of what we've done with GMO seeds, now we're cutting the production of food in North America by 30 to 50%. It's just now catching up with us. And what's going to happen when this next year we go into the spring and we are not planting the amount of crops that we're planting now? Everything is going to grow or go up rapidly. That's just one indication of inflation that's going to hit. You multiply that with the supply chain issues that are going to get worse. I want you to hear me. It will not be solved until 2023, the supply chain issues. It will get worse based on some information that I'm getting, okay? On top of that, we are facing an impending war with China right now. China has already made it clear they are going to take Taiwan. There's 175 to 200,000 Russian troops on the border of Ukraine right now to take it. Taiwan produces 87%, Noah? 87% of all the chips for the world. If you think we have a problem with getting chips now, what's going to happen if China takes Taiwan, controls that 100%, or worse, China moves in on Taiwan and America and specifically Australia move to stop China from doing that, then we're going to get into a world war scenario, which would also bring Russia into it. For years, I've studied the Bible, folks, and I've wondered why does China or the nations, the 200 million man army, come from the east against the nation of Israel? Well, China's never had any interest in Israel. The Asiatic nations have never had any Israel. Why all of a sudden are they going to be interested in coming against Israel? Well, there's going to be a lot of reasons for that. Israel is an ally with America and is in that part of the world. And so I'm telling you, folks, everything is lining up for a terrible storm. Now, I am not trying to be Chicken Little, the sky's falling tonight. But I also want us to be realist and understand the times and the seasons that we're in so that we can prepare. We ought not be caught off guard by anything. In fact, we ought to be ready that whenever something happens, that we have the greatest door of ministry open to us than the world has ever known. So, folks, there is a perfect prophetic storm that is not only brewing, it's building right now. There are four angels, according to your Bible, in the book of Revelation, that stand on the four corners of the earth. Now, we know where the north and south pole is. I don't know where the east and west pole is, but God does. They stand on the four corners of the earth. Now, somebody, I promise you, somebody right now is going to email me their flat earth theory because of four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. So anyway, I'm not even going there. But anyway, these four angels, the Bible says, holds four winds in their hand, and they control these winds from causing damage on the earth. Throughout history, there have always been four winds that have driven the history of the world or shaped the history of the world. The first wind is the wind of war. Nations taking nations, territories expanding or contracting because of war, right? Would you agree with that? War is a big factor. Number two, education. Educated nations become more prosperous. Uneducated nations stay in poverty. Educated nations become more powerful because of their prosperity, and geography changes as a result of it. Does everybody understand that? The third wind is religion. Entire nations and boundaries are formed by religion. So we've got war, we got economy, we have education, we got religion, and then the fourth wind is economy. Economies collapse, economies excel, and they swallow one another up. And territories or geographies change based on economies, right? Right now we have a one world economy that has been formed, and because of that, things are progressing quicker than they would have if we were all independent, free states that stood on our own, right? I mean, one of the ways to stop from going to war with China is to make everything in America. Their economy depends on it as much as our economy depends on it. And I've told people, as we've talked about this, I said, if we can, in the 40s, build a war machine and put Americans to work to equip our servicemen to fight the greatest war of all time, why can't we do that to put Americans to work to build our own chips, to make our products at home, to produce our own fertilizer and things of that nature, to make America stronger? But the geopolitical policies of the day are not that, because they are building a one world government. Folks, this is all Antichrist stuff that we read about in the Bible. So it is obvious. I'm getting wound up. I can feel myself getting wound up, so I'm going to chill out here. It is obvious to me where we're at in God's prophetic timetable, and that we need to get ready. We need to prepare ourselves. Now, do I believe that everything's going to come crashing down tomorrow? No, I believe that this is going to be a snowball that rolls downhill, gains momentum as it goes. So we need to be prepared. But I want to be clear tonight to say, well, just if America would just turn their heart toward God. In order for America to turn their heart toward God, we've got to have a lot of Americans find a space of repentance and get to an altar somewhere and give their hearts back to God, if not give their hearts to God for the first time, right? But we as a nation are in trouble because we fall in Psalm 9:17. Every nation that forgets God will be turned into hell. And the disintegration of our nation is the result of our immorality. And judgment is coming on America. Not only on America, but the nations of the world. Now, with that, I need my mic runner here. I need Deuteronomy chapter 28. Who had it? Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I want you to read for me verse number 15 and 16, brother.
All right. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you.
All right, stop right there. So in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 and 16, God says, if we don't do it the word way, the result is a plethora of curses that start at verse 16 and follow. And there's actually 12 curses that are listed in that passage that comes on a nation that forgets God. I'm not going to go into those curses tonight. We'll go into those at another time. I'm simply bringing this scripture to you to say our problem is not a political problem. Our problem is not just an economic problem. Our problem is a spiritual problem at the root. America has forgotten God, and it is being turned into hell. We are following down the path of the prophecy that we have laid out as a result of our immorality. So things like what's going on at the Supreme Court right now are ever so important to us. Leadership in high places who carry the standard of righteousness is ever so important to us right now if we're to save America. So because of our immorality, curses are setting upon us, and specifically there's 12. I believe that America is losing her soul. I really do. You know, there was a businessman who was traveling. Every time I go down this path, I think about this story of a businessman who was traveling, and he was checked into a hotel room very, very late at night, and it was an upstairs hotel room, and he was trying to be real quiet because he knew that the people underneath him were asleep and he didn't want to wake them up. So he was tiptoeing around. He sat down on the side of the bed and he takes his shoe off and he's trying to ease it off because he don't want to drop it or anything. And as he jerks his shoe off, it falls out of his hand. It hits the floor and sure enough, it tumbles on the floor. And he's like, oh no, I probably woke somebody up downstairs. And so he just continues to go getting undressed. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door of his hotel room. And he eases to the door, and there's a man standing there in his pajamas, right? And he said, can I help you? He said, yeah. He said, when's the other shoe going to drop? Right? Do you feel like that with America? Like, when's the next shoe going to drop? Something is impending. We had a distinguished past. We've got a distressing present right now. And I'm telling you, according to Psalm 9 and Deuteronomy 28, we've got a dark future. If, and if is a very big small world, if God doesn't do something sovereignly in our nation, right? So, with that said, I have built the stage for the problem. The problem that I see with prophecy and the number one question I'm asked in Bible prophecy everywhere I go is, where is America in the Bible? America's the greatest nation in the history of the world, arguably. America is the most powerful nation in the world. America is the strongest military nation in the world. America is the most prosperous nation in the world. America is the most gospel-producing nation in the world. America is the greatest mission-sending nation in the world. America is the number one humanitarian nation in the world. Nobody does for the poor what America does. So the question I'm asked all the time, okay, Pastor, where is America in prophecy? If we're such a great nation, then where are we? Well, in your Bible, there are what I call 10 honorable mentions of America in Scripture. And I say honorable mentions because there are more allusions to America. So what I started doing several weeks ago, because I was preparing for something in particular that I'm not doing till after the first of the year, I started going back through all of my notes and Scripture, and I started just burying myself in the book saying, I got to find America in the Bible. Surely the greatest nation in all of these different categories has got to be in the Word of God somewhere. So I started going through, Jerry, every single possible mention of America in the Bible, and I want to hit it with you tonight. And I want to see if we can find America in the Bible. Is that okay? So here's where we're going to need our scriptures. You're going to write this down. The first sighting of America in prophecy, the first sighting is the 10 lost tribes. So just so you know, there is a group out there of prophecy teachers who teach that the population of America comes from the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Now you remember, according to your biblical history, after the death of Solomon, the kingdom was divided between Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Eventually, the kingdom split. 2 went to the south. 10 went to the north. The 10 that went to the north eventually were invaded, were taken captive, and supposedly they have been lost from that point of history until now. And nobody knows where the 10 lost tribes are. People say that America is the 10 lost tribes. Now, there's some reason for this, because just not far from us, over here in Knoxville, Tennessee, just north of Knoxville, there was a stone found called the Decalogue Stone. You can go look all of this up, write it down, go look it up. If I'm lying, I'm frying. I'm telling you the truth. The Decalogue Stone. The Decalogue Stone, I can't remember the name of the stone. Anyway, it was found there in right outside of Knoxville. On this stone is Paleo-Hebraic writing. This Hebraic writing dates all the way back to A.D. 60 and 70, somewhere in that time period. Now, can anybody in here tell me what happened around A.D. 70? Jerusalem fell to the Romans. The Roman 10th Legion surrounded the walls of Jerusalem, burned it to the ground, the temple to the ground. And so they say, well, okay, here's this stone that has Hebraic writing on it right here in the mountains of Tennessee. And so therefore, this stone means that these people were coming from the nation of Israel. This stone has been under scrutiny for decades and has passed the test of scrutiny. What are you trying to say? The Back Creek Stone. Thank you very much. The Back Creek Stone. Go look it up. All right? So here's what we do know for sure. Before Columbus or anybody discovered the Americas, as our history books say, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jewish people were here, or at least somebody who had been to Israel and had that stone came here to America in AD 60s and 70s, somewhere around that time. So Jews were here before the Europeans came. Does everybody follow me? If you go just north of where the Back Creek Stone was found to a place called Chillicothe, Ohio. I have a pastor friend, Ken Roark, lives in Chillicothe. I was preaching for him several years ago. He took me to these mounds. These mounds in Chillicothe are in the shape of a menorah. What they have found is that Jewish people built these mounds in Chillicothe, Ohio. Guess when they date to? Same time frame. In the AD 70 range. Now, this is not necessarily proof that America is one of the 10 lost tribes. We've got to get back to before the time of Solomon, right? Or around the time of Solomon. Well, in New Mexico, there has been a stone found. I think the New Mexico stone is the Decalogue stone. It might be, there's another one up north in Michigan that's been found. It has the 10 commandments on it. This stone out west has been dated back to the time of King Solomon. So now we know that possibly Jews were here. So the question is, how did Jews get to America? Right? Well, if you remember, Solomon made a compact with the Phoenicians. The scripture tells us that Phoenicians were seafaring people. They were very gifted at traveling the sea. Phoenicians probably helped build ships, and so somehow or another they got over here to North America. So because of these few things, and there's much more than what I'm telling you right now, I don't have time to go through all of it, they say that America is one of the 10 lost tribes, and specifically that the Indian tribes, the Native American people, were the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Now, it has since been proven genetically that most of the Native American tribes probably came from the Aztecs or something like that from the south, with one exception, the Cherokee. The Cherokee's bloodline is different. So some people say, well, the Cherokee Indians are part of the 10 lost tribes. However, the Cherokee Indians, they don't have necessarily Jewish blood in them, or at least genetically, there's not, that connection has not been found. So they say, well, the 10 lost tribes, America has to be the 10 lost tribes. This is one of the arguments of prophecy. There's a problem with this. The problem with this is the 10 lost tribes were never lost. And I'm going to prove it to you with the Bible. All right, come over here. You're going to have to stand up here against the wall and run around, Jerry. Give her the microphone. I want you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 2. Since we're in the time of Christmas, let's go ahead and read this. Luke chapter 2. And read it for me, please.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger.
All right, go down to verse number 36.
Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher.
What tribe was she from?
Asher.
Asher. Asher was one of the lost tribes. So here we are in the New Testament. God knows exactly where the lost tribes are. He has lined up for the birth of Christ, Anna as a prophetess. The tribes weren't totally lost. Anna was of the tribe of Asher. And Luke wrote about it. So this was not, they're not totally lost. Another proof that they're not totally lost, and we won't go there, is Revelation chapter 7. During the tribulation period, God seals 12,000 people out of each one of the 12 tribes. So if God's going to seal them, he's got to know exactly where they're at. So I want to argue that America can't be the 10 lost tribes of Israel because God never lost them. He knows right where they're at. You say, well, it alludes to America. I'm not looking for an allusion to America. I'm looking for America in the Bible, folks. And where do we fit in to prophecy in the last day? All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 18. Here's the second argument that America is in the Bible. They say that we're found in Isaiah chapter 18. And I want you to read verses 1. Just start reading verse 1 and following.
Woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings, which is beyond the river.
All right, so woe to the land shadowed with what?
Buzzing wings.
Oh, they say, well, that's America because America, the emblem of America is an eagle. An eagle has wings, right? Then keep going.
Which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia.
All right. America's beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. So it's got to be a Western nation. Keep going.
Which sends ambassadors by sea.
All right. We send ambassadors by the sea.
Even in vessels of reed on the waters.
Yeah. And so this is talking about boats now. It's just that would have been how they done it. Go ahead.
Saying, go swift messengers to a nation tall and smooth of skin.
All right, so here's got to be America because Americans are tall, smooth-skinned people.
To a people terrible from their beginning onward.
To a people terrible, and that word terrible means powerful, from their beginning onward.
A nation powerful and treading down.
Yeah.
Whose land the rivers divide.
Whose land the rivers divide. Well, that's got to be America because if you look at America, we've got rivers that divide our land. We've got tall, smooth-skinned people. Now, this is about the most racist interpretation of the Bible I've ever found in my life concerning prophecy. Well, we know that this got to be America because everybody over there is white, right? Obviously, nobody's ever seen a Native American, a real Native American, because they're not the smoothest-skinned people. And I can say that because my mama was one. Right? Now, Bible prophecy teachers say this has got to be America for all the reasons that I just laid out for you. And they specifically draw attention to it being a land divided by many rivers. And America is that. However, this cannot be America in Isaiah chapter 18. And I'm going to prove it to you. Because you have to take the Bible in context. You can't just reach and grab a scripture and make it apply to anything else. Just because America's symbol is an eagle with wings, that doesn't mean that we're the nation of buzzing wings. Look, Louisiana and the mosquitoes. Look at the context of the passage. The context of the passage tells you it is Cush, south of Egypt. So this is the land of Cush. This isn't America. So, all right, we've got two places. Now, here's the argument we're trying to settle tonight. Well, here's what everybody says. Well, America, you know, we're a prophetic nation. We're God's prophetic hand in the last days. And so, therefore, God's going to bless America. I believe God has blessed America. But I also know that the Bible says a nation who forgets God will be turned into hell. The judgment of God will come upon it. So I've got to find out, is America in the Bible? Well, it's definitely not the lost tribes of Israel because they weren't really lost. And it can't be the nation in Isaiah chapter 10. I'm hitting all of the major passages that the prophetic teachers would say this is where America's found. Well, then there's another one. Who got Daniel chapter 7? Daniel chapter 7, just start reading at verse number 1 for me.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other.
Stop right there. So he sees this vision. A sea there is prophetically speaking of people groups, right? So there's a stirring up of people groups, and out of these people groups are getting ready to come these nations that's going to rise to power. These beasts that he's getting ready to read about are nations that's coming to power. Okay, keep reading there.
The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it.
All right, back up. Read that again. The first was like a lion.
The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings.
All right, stop. What nation did we come out of? England, Great Britain. What's the symbol of Great Britain? A lion. Oh, so they, okay, Pastor, here's America in prophecy. Daniel chapter 7 is speaking about a lion that has wings, and that the wings at some point are plucked off, and then it stands up like its own man. It's becoming its own nation. And then it's given a heart. They're saying, well, America's compassion. There's the heart of America, compassion. So read it again. The first was like a lion, and just read it. Listen to it now.
The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this.
Okay, most Bible prophecy teachers say this is Russia. All right. We're stretching there, but because it's a bear, because you got the Russian bear. Keep going.
After this, I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. Uh-huh. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet.
All right, stop right there. So these are succeeding nations, and the power of those nations, one came after the other. So they say this is America because of the description I just gave you. This can't be America. And I'm going to tell you why it can't be America. Because he starts it out with the context. It happened in the time of the king of Babylon, Belshazzar. So the first nation is Babylon. This nation that you're reading about, lion with wings, is Babylon. Do you know what Babylon had on all of its major city gates? A lion with wings on it. So this is talking about Babylon. Folks, this cannot be America. But I'm telling you right now, prophecy teachers all over the world are teaching this is America. It's a big stretch to reach and make this America. Right? Sorry to bust your bubble with that one. I can tell that one really bothered some folks because y'all was like, yeah, there it is. Right? Lion, wing, stands up, heart. It's all got to be it, right? So we've eliminated the lost tribes, the nation mentioned in Isaiah chapter 18. We've eliminated the eagle's wings of Daniel chapter 7. Oh, I tell you where America is. America is in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse number 13. Who's got Ezekiel 38? Right here, right beside you here, Miss Pam. Ezekiel 38, verse 13 for me.
Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all its leaders will say to you, have you come to seize spoil? Have you assembled your host to carry off plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to seize great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord, on that day when my people Israel are dwelling securely, will you not know it? You will come from your place out of the uttermost parts of the north, and many peoples with you. all of them riding on horses, a great host, a mighty army.
All right. Thank you. So this is obviously the passage about Gog and Magog, whenever the nations come against the nation of Israel, right, to destroy it. There's this group of people called Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, specifically the merchants of Tarshish. Bible prophecy teachers tell you the merchants of Tarshish are the Americas and their sisters, right? It'd be England and America, Australia, and all of these sister nations. They say these are the merchants of Tarshish. And what they point out, which is accurate, because the merchants of Tarshish are going to come to the Antichrist, who's trying to go up against Israel. And they are going to say, have you come to take a spoil? Now listen, if you've got armies and you're surrounding a nation, it's obvious you intend to take it. Yeah. Is that true? So what this is pointing out to us is that this nation that's coming is coming diplomatically. They're trying to, through diplomacy, stop the warfare from taking place. Have you come to take a spoil? Are you going to steal their silver and gold? Are you going to take their cattle? Come on, this isn't right. That's what they're doing. So they said, well, this is America. At the time of Gog and Magog, America, which is one of the merchants of Tarshish, is going to come and they're going to try to negotiate with the Antichrist. The merchants of Tarshish cannot be America. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they're the merchants of Tarshish. The Bible tells you who they are. Would you like to know who Tarshish is or where Tarshish is? It is a Phoenician colony in Spain. So this is Spain. This isn't talking about America. This is talking about a delegation coming from Spain. And so now a Bible prophecy teacher will say, well, Christopher Columbus was from Spain, and America came out of out of Spain, and then you got Australia and all these sister nations. But look at me, folks. You have to look at what you have to do. You have to really stretch the imagination and really stretch the Word of God that is dealing with very specific nations and people groups by names to make it fit America. See my problem with that? So I want to submit to you, this can't be America. All right, we got two more, and then I'm going to quit because I can tell I'm boring you guys today to death. All right. We're not going to read this. You're going to read this one at home. Revelation chapter 17, Revelation 18, you read about Babylon. You've got mystery Babylon and physical Babylon. One's a spiritual Babylon. One's an actual natural Babylon. They say that the Babylon that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 18 specifically is America. Now, the reason they say this is because we have the Statue of Liberty setting in the harbor. It is the home of the World Trade Organization. It is the financial home of the world, supposedly. It's where all that. And when you read Revelation chapter 18, it makes these statements that it is a place full of immorality. Is New York full of immorality? It is a world superpower. Come on, are we a world superpower? It has great wealth and affluence. It helps other nations to become wealthy and affluent. And because of these things, they say, well, here we have the Statue of Liberty, which was given to us from France as a gift to us. And it is a goddess that's sitting out there. And they say, well, there's that great whore sitting on many waters, right? The problem is the great whore sitting on many waters is one color. According to Revelation 18, that whore has a whole lot more colors. The whore sitting in the waters is holding a torch. The whore sitting in Revelation 18 has a golden cup in her hand. And I could go on and on and on to show you have to really stretch that to make the whore of Babylon, Revelation 18, fit out there over the Statue of Liberty. So New York is not Babylon. And America is not Babylon, and I'm going to mess up your thinking. Sometimes Babylon isn't even Babylon. Do you know why I say that? Because in the Bible, folks, other nations who became very immoral at times were referred to as Babylon. Even Jerusalem at one point was called Babylon. Not because they're literal Babylon, but because the spirit that was there and the immorality that was there. So yes, America might have a lot of similarities, but it is not dealing with Babylon. In fact, Revelation 18 is dealing with the literal Babylon. As you know, Saddam Hussein felt like he was Nebuchadnezzar reincarnate and was sent by God to rebuild Babylon and make it a world superpower. So somehow or another, all of that's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm just telling you that's going to happen, and it's going to happen quickly. Okay? But I'm just telling you, you can't find America being Babylon in the Bible other than the moral problems that we have. And so, yeah, we could be referred to like Jerusalem and other nations, but that doesn't make us the literal Babylon of Revelation chapter 17 and 18. It's a stretch. Are y'all still here? All right, there's one more. There's Revelation chapter 12. Who's got that one? Revelation 12 right here, Brother Neely. Give him that one. Revelation chapter 12. And let's start at around verse 12 there, can we?
Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent.
All right, so now the final place that you'll hear Bible prophecy teachers say America is found is right here in Revelation chapter 12. That this woman who's given two great wings and swept away in the wilderness and protected during the last half of the tribulation is America. Folks, there's no way that that verse or those verses are referring to America. Look at the context of the passage. It's talking about the nation of Israel and specifically the 144,000 who are going to be sealed. There's no way it talks about America. All right. I just gave you the 10 places, or the, I don't know how many I gave you, the places that every prophecy teacher tells you that America is mentioned in the Bible. There's no other place. I take that back. There is one other place in the New Testament that has arisen lately where Jesus said, I have a people that you don't know about, and I have a vineyard, and I'll plant a new vineyard. And they say, well, America's that new vineyard. Right? That's talking about the Gentiles coming into the faith when you study the passage. What I'm telling you is, in my opinion, now this is my opinion, you can't find America in your Bible. So here's the question. Yes, sir. What about it? Yeah, I think it's a general description, but it's not speaking specifically to a nation. Yeah. Yeah, specific to Rome, but it's not specific necessarily to another nation. He was asking about Romans chapter 1. All right, so look at me, guys. Here's my problem. America's the greatest nation on the planet. Agreed? Right? And those of you who don't agree with that, we need to get you a visa and send you somewhere, right? Greatest nation on the planet, strongest nation on the planet militarily, greatest humanitarian nation, greatest mission nation on the planet. If we're living in the last days and we're the greatest nation on the planet, why are we not mentioned in the Bible? Right? That's my problem. Now, only a couple things could answer that question. Number one, somebody's going to argue, well, the rapture of the church is going to happen and all these Christians are going to leave America and therefore America is going to fall apart. The problem is, as I told you in the beginning of this, only 20% of Christians in America, 20% of the population of America claim to be Christian. Of that 20%, only 20% claim to go to church. Or 50% of that claim to go to the church. Of the 50% who claim to go to church, only 50% of those actually go to church. And of that 50%, they only go sporadically. They're not faithful in church. So let's say that on the big end, 20% of Christian America is Christian. How many people we got in America right now? 320. Wow, 600,000 people disappear, or 6 million people disappear, and 290-something million are still here. Will it shake up the world? Yeah, it'll shake up the world. What I'm trying to show you is that doesn't give you an explanation of why America's still not a strong nation. Right? Now, years ago, when we said 60% of the population was Christian, yeah, we could say that would decimate America overnight, right? But not so much now if we're a post-Christian nation. So my question has been, I've been asking myself, why is America not mentioned in Bible prophecy anywhere? Why can't we find it in the Scripture? And I've only got three reasons I want to give you, and I want you to write these down, and you go home and see if you can disprove them, okay? Number one is an economic implosion. If we fall apart economically, we lose our power overnight because we have created a one world government, a global economy. We immediately, remember I told you about the four winds that shape the world, the wind of economy, the wind of education, the wind of war, and the wind of religion. These four winds shape the world. You take us out economically, we can't fight a war. We can't educate appropriately. We immediately decimate our nation. You follow me? Is an economic implosion possible in America at this stage? Yes. Drive inflation up, destroy the value of the American dollar, allow another, let's say, another wave of COVID or pestilence of something that we can't get a handle on to come through, and imagine what could happen to them. If you think it's tough right now, imagine what could happen overnight. You say, oh, Pastor, this is such a depressing message. I should have stayed home and killed myself, right? I'm not trying to depress you. I'm trying to wake us up. The second thing that could happen that I think is an outside invasion from a foreign nation. We've not, other than the Revolutionary War and the Civil War, we've not really fought a war on our land, on our soil. We've always taken the battle to everybody else. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to realize something. Right now, we have foreign nations that own 18 of our major ports. Buying up land and lending money to us hand over fist. We are becoming weaker. Used to, there was something in the heart of America that young men and women would fight for the nation. Right now, we've got a group of people in America that believe America is bad because we've got the media telling us how bad America is and how wicked it is. And they've got all of these young people who've never really been anywhere else in the world to see that America is really a wonderful place to live, and that's the reason the rest of the world wants to move here. They don't know that, so they won't have a heart to fight. If we have an outside invasion, we're in trouble. Right? Now listen, did you know that over the last several weeks, China and Russia has had warships with nuclear weapons on them less than 11, 12 miles off our coast? That on a regular basis, our Air Force is having to run the Russians off of the Alaskan border on a regular basis. Everybody is jockeying right now for position. Imagine, just imagine right now the stress. We've got warships trying to defend Taiwan. You've got Chinese warships that are wanting to stage to take Taiwan. And imagine one accident happening, what that leads to. If we have an outside invasion, we're in trouble. The third thing that would decimate America, and this is the most important one, is a moral collapse. What I want to submit to you is that we have all three of these things going at the same time. We have an economic implosion. We have a potential outside invasion, or at least, at the very least, a war with China and some other nations. And number three, we have a moral collapse going on in the nation at the rate of speed that has never been seen before, basically, you and I are going to fall apart way faster than Rome. Now, if that's the case, we will no longer be a major player on a world stage. Remember I told you about the four winds? Everybody hold up four. Right, four winds. The wind of economy, the wind of education, the wind of religion, the wind of war. Economy, education, religion, war. Four winds. Here's what we got to have right now. A fifth wind. We got to have the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow across America. We are literally where Zechariah was. Politics won't solve it. Money won't solve it. People can't solve it. Nothing can solve your problem except one thing. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We have got to have the wind of the Holy Ghost to start blowing across America. Now, I want you to listen to me tonight. If we don't start really getting serious about a move of God, your children and my grandchildren will be fighting for their lives. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I'm a prophet of God, and I'm telling you, I might be dead and gone when it happens. But I'm telling you that your children and my grandchildren will have to fight for their lives. And I've got 6,000 years of human history with nations collapsing that proves it. None of them have escaped it. None. So every time I put my little grandson in my lap, or my granddaughter in my lap, I think about them. And that's the reason when I come to church, I don't come in here to play. I'm not coming in here for a show. I'm not coming in here to impress anybody. I could really care less about any of that anymore. I am concerned about one thing. God, we have got to have a true, bona fide, sovereign, authentic outpouring of the Holy Ghost to hit. Listen, and we're not talking about a Brownsville revival. That was good. We're not talking about a Toronto awakening. That was good. We're not even talking about the charismatic movement. That was good. We're talking about a global revival that sweeps the entire world and sets it back on its heels. If we don't have that, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. It might not happen in your lifetime. For those of us at my age, it might not happen in my lifetime. But I'm telling you right now, you can mark down what I'm saying to you tonight, that if we don't get our act together, and listen, it ain't the world out there that needs to get their act together.
That's right.
It's the church. Right. We've been through a pandemic. People dying all over the world, and the church is still just as divided, just as backbiting, scheming, doing all kinds of crazy stuff all the time, and still calling ourselves Christians and acting like we know God. And then we wonder why our kids don't want nothing to do with Jesus. Our kids don't want to be in the house of God. Our grandkids don't want to come to the altar. I'll tell you why. It's because we've been playing a game so long, we have deceived ourselves that we are right with God. And I'm telling you, from being in churches all, even after the pandemic, pastor, he was with me last night, Southern Baptist pastor from Indiana, Evansville, Indiana, saying, please come, we need a revival. We got to have a revival. Is that true, Lars? Churches all over America crying out. Pastors are calling me saying, I can't get my people to come back to church. We're not having moves of God. It's like it's dead. My people are divided. People leaving. People getting mad. People splitting. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to keep on doing that stuff until we are literally fighting for our lives. You say, well, I don't know if I'll ever come back. Well, don't let the door hit you where the Lord split you. Because I'm telling you right now exactly how it T.I. is. I'm telling you that if we don't have, that's the reason I moved back to Cookeville, Tennessee. I said, God, I have got to see one more mighty move of the Spirit of God one more time. I've just got to see it. I got to feel it. I got to come to the house of God and know that He's in the building with me. I am telling you, we need a move of God. And if we don't get to praying, and we don't get to living, and we don't get to giving, and we don't get to start doing the stuff that the Bible tells us we ought to do, all these curses will come upon us. And they will come like a mighty wind just sweeping over our life. The good news is God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face, I will hear from heaven, heal their land. God wants to heal the land. God wants to do the miraculous. God wants to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. But God is waiting on the church to get their act together, the church to cry out. Jesus isn't going to come for the Jewish people until they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And He's not going to come for the church until the church starts giving a cry. A cry has to come from the earth in order for heaven to respond. Tears have to flow in the earth in order for the water of heaven to be poured out. And I'm telling you, I'm about to jump up and flip this table over. So that's what I'm contending for. So every day when I go in my prayer closet, I say, God, not on my watch. Send the Spirit of God like a mighty rushing wind on us. Blow on us one more time. I know all these other winds are blowing, but God, one more time, let the fifth wind, let the wind of grace, let the fifth wind begin to blow all over America. And here's what I believe. It might not happen everywhere, but I'll tell you what I saw in my vision in 2012. I saw cities and regions that erupted in revival in America. And like refuges, people were running into it to find a place of safety. I came to Cookeville because I felt like Cookeville was going to be a city of refuge. And people were going to run into it and find places of safety. The glory of God. Anybody want that in Cookeville besides me? Right? See, I tried to show you the problem to show you the solution. It's not an economic solution. It's not. If you think the politics is going to get better, it's not. Politics come and go. Folks, it changes every 2 and 4 years. Every 2 and 4 years, you can depend on it. You're going to have something to argue about. Every 2 and 4 years, they like it that way. It keeps you in bondage.
That's right.
They like it that way. Keeps you all torn up. Right? Y'all, I tell you what, if you want a good study, y'all want a good study? You know, all of this rioting and fussing and fighting and all this clamoring we've been doing about equality, it's working great. Go look and see how many billionaires there are today than there was 2 years ago. Over 200 billionaires on the planet today. Less than 24 2 years ago. You say, well, that you're just mad at people getting rich. No, I hope the Lord makes me a billionaire. I'm not against billionaires. Whoever's phone that is, answer it. Praise the Lord. I'm not against billionaires. Let me tell you what I'm against. Here's what I'm saying. We're fighting for equality because we think that's the answer. That's not the answer. The answer is the move of the Holy Ghost. Jesus levels the playing field for everybody. Amen? We need a move of the Spirit of God. All right, I'm done. Y'all okay? Please breathe, because some of you look like you're about to pass out. Now, I wish I could do this on Sunday, but I can't, because it would freak people out. But I believe there's a group of people here tonight to go do something with it. Here's the good news. We don't have to have a big mass to have revival. You get 4 or 5 people who get on fire and get real hungry for God, and it turn a whole city upside down, right? 12 apostles turned the world upside down. So let's lift our hands right now. Can we do it? Jesus, we're contending for a move of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we are asking for the wind of heaven to begin to blow. And so, Lord, if you're looking for people to do it with hands lifted high, with hearts bowed before you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we're saying, here we are right here in Cookeville, Tennessee. Blow on us. Blow in us. Blow through us. Shake this region right here with the presence of Almighty God, and let it just begin to spread and hop like wildfire all over America, and then let it begin to hop like wildfire all over the world, and let nations begin to surrender to the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we know that there's coming a time the Antichrist is going to step to his place, but before that time, Father, can you just allow one more mighty move of the Holy Ghost to happen in our day? We ask for it. We believe you for it. And Lord, if there's any evil in us, any impurity in us, anything in us that would keep us from being prepared or positioned enough to be able to receive what you want to do in the earth, we ask you to forgive us, to wash us afresh and anew in the blood of Jesus, and wash away all of our sin, throw it as far as the east is from the west, and remember it no more against us. And Lord, give us your grace on this planet. Lord, America needs a move. We can't control the other nations, but America needs a move. And we pray right now, God, visit America. Lord, even in the White House, at the top of the leadership rung, the ladder, all the way down to my house, God, visit America and shake us one more time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I love you. Get up out of here. Be encouraged. Jesus is coming soon. It's a good reason to be ready, right? Jesus is coming. Get out of here. I'll see you guys Sunday morning.